So I'm reading from John 15, verse 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch, and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that you bear, that your joy may be fruit. And that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. That you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
Thanks, Nathan. I wish I had that voice for radio like Nathan, eh? Yeah, it is well read. Thank you, Nathan. That was great. Let's bow our heads as we go into the scriptures. Father, we thank you for your word, which is useful for correcting, rebuking, encouraging, guiding, and for all of life. I pray right now that you would give me the words of wisdom that you want to pass on to your church and to the people here. Open the hearts of all of us to receive what you have to say in Jesus' name. Awesome. So it's so good to be with you, Crossways Church, today, the first of our services for the new year. And I hope you had a good new year, good holiday break, and you're ready for the new year. Before we go into the sermon main and get into the text itself, just to say one or two things about the elders' time away. As Doug was saying, we sought the Lord on what are the themes for this year that the Lord most wants to speak to the church about. And we had a fantastic time there and really felt like the Lord was speaking to us. And so there's so much to look forward to this year. Today's a once-off sermon kicking off the year. But next week we start a short series on 1 Peter. So systematically going through 1 Peter for 4 weeks. And then later on into Corinthians. And then there are other themes that we're going to be exploring as well. But for today, like I said, a once-off sermon. There was an amazing picture that Heather received and shared with the elders, and we really feel this is a word in season for us as a church. So I asked Heath just to come forward and share that.
So we had a lovely time of personal retreat during the weekend where we spent a few hours on on our own. And I'm a picture person. I like to see images, and I learn visually. And so God always speaks to me in that way so that I can understand. And I was sitting there praying, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to see? And he showed me a wisteria that was growing nearby, but the wisteria hadn't been pruned for a long time, and it had masses of tendrils all growing out, but just growing out. And for those who don't know what a tendril is, this is wisteria from the... Yeah, so this is wisteria, and these are the tendrils. Do you see them? See that tendril over there? So there's little twirly bits. So the plant would be here, and the tendrils just reach out. And I felt like God was saying, our community are growing, but like tendrils reaching out. And there are some that are needing something to grow onto. And for anyone who's ever grown sweet peas or maybe pumpkins or watermelons, I'm trying to think of some other examples, wisteria is one. These tendrils are jasmine, star jasmine is another. Tendrils need a support to be trained onto, to grow onto. And you and I in our lives are always looking for things to just support us, whether it's a good diet, whether it's a good circle of friends, or maybe a supportive family. But some people are looking to Netflix to just keep them going week to week. There may be some looking to alcohol to just keep them going week to week. There may be some looking at pornography to make them feel good, maybe. Maybe there's a relationship that someone's pursuing that constantly makes them feel better about themselves. Maybe that's not a good relationship, perhaps. But we're looking as people for things to support us. And so God was saying, what I want to give the people in Crossways are truths to build on. And so I saw a beautiful picture of a lattice. So a lattice is like a fence that has cross pieces. And the tendrils started to grow towards the lattice and twist into that lattice and be trained and grew into something beautiful. And that's what God wants to do with truths in our lives, is provide a lattice of truth, different truths. Each of us need different things in different seasons, and then these tendrils can grow on this lattice into something beautiful. And so the picture was that God's wanting to grow us like a community of believers into this beautiful lattice so that our tendrils don't go awry and grab onto the wrong things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you, Heath. That's amazing. Just for the church, you know, God speaks to us in different ways, and through prophetic pictures is one of the ways that he speaks to us. And we see that even in the Bible, and we're going to see that just now from some of the prophets who spoke about the vine. And that's why the Lord led me to the scripture on John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches of the vine, like these tendrils, which we are. And so the title of today's sermon is lattices for abiding in the vine. Lattices for abiding in the vine. And so, like with any scripture, you need the context of the time and what is going on here. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, right? It's probably somewhere near the end of his earthly ministry, coming towards the end of his time on earth before he is tried. And so he is speaking to them in the deep truths around this picture of a vine and the master of the vine, or the vine keeper, and about this the vine and the imagery of the vine. Now, for us who are modern Christians, we might not necessarily understand exactly what's going on here, but his disciples would have known exactly what he was referring to. Won't you turn with me, because they were Jewish, won't you turn with me to Psalm 80? And we're going to read from Psalm 80, verse 7. Then if you've got a fast fingers, you might want to have another finger in the book, in your Bible, at Isaiah 5. So in Psalm 80, the Jewish people of the time probably would have recited the psalm. It's a psalm of Asaph, around about the time that the Assyrians had invaded or were about to invade Israel and ultimately conquer them. And so it's a petition to God. Verse 7, Psalm 80, "Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep roots and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why, then, have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit?" You see some imagery coming through there, same images from John 15 in Psalm 80. Anyone see anything that was the same? Come, shout out, class, yeah? You have to wake up, eh? What are some of the images? What are some of the words that you saw that are the same? Vine, branches, fruit. Okay, turn with me to, if you know your Bible or don't know your Bible, just keep going. Keep paging to Isaiah chapter 5. They also would have known some of the words from the prophets right? And so Isaiah was a prophet who prophesied over Israel, particularly in a stage of their being, of their history, when they were going astray and they had no longer loved the Lord nor served him. And so Isaiah says this in chapter 5, verse 1, "Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stone and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? And he looked, when I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes?" Verse 7, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry." And then finally, if you keep paging, you will get to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 15. And some of those images from Isaiah, I want you to keep in memory, okay? Some of the things it said there. Chapter 15, verse 1 of Ezekiel. All right? "And the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, how does the wood of the vine surpass any wood? The vine branch that is among the trees of the forest, is wood taken from it to make anything? Do people take a peg from it to hang any vessel on it? Behold, it is given to the fire for fuel. When the fire has consumed both ends of it and the middle of it charred, is it useful for anything? Behold, when it was whole, it was used for nothing. How much less when the fire has consumed it and charred it ever be used for anything? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, take the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so that I can give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Wow, pretty hectic, hey? The Jews of the time would have known these prophecies. They would have known the song of Asaph from the Psalms. They would have understood what is the vine. Who is the vine? What is the vine in there, to their knowledge? Was themselves, the nation. The nation. He said the people of Judah were his pleasant planting. In that Psalm 80, Asaph was saying, "Lord, you planted us as your vine. You planted us in a land that we would flourish and we would grow and we would prosper and we would spread across to other nations so that we would provide shade and fruit," it says in Psalm 80. But the people were unfaithful. The people were self-centered. People did not follow God's laws and commandments. And so God sends a word of judgment, that he would no longer stand for that he would take them off their pedestal, so to speak. And so let's go now to the New Testament, because it provides even greater context to John chapter 15. Come with me to Matthew, the first book of the Gospels of the New Testament, to Matthew 21. So Jesus is now being challenged by the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. They are questioning him. And then Jesus responds with a parable. It's called the parable of the tenants. And you'll find it in Matthew 21, reading from verse 33. And it is again recorded in Mark's gospel in chapter 12. So the parable of the tenants. Hear another parable. There was a master of the house who planted a vineyard. Okay? Does that ring any bells? Okay? Where do you think Jesus got this from? "And put a fence around it." Okay? We would have heard this already from what we've read. Okay? "And dug a wine press," straight out of the Old Testament. "And built a tower," straight out of the Old Testament. Where? Which book? Isaiah. Jesus is quoting Isaiah to the leaders of the time, to the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. He's quoting straight out of there. And he said, He dug a wine press and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. These are the prophets, okay? He's referring to the prophets. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out the vineyard and killed him. And when, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And then the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, they say to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season." And Jesus says to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on the stone will be broken into pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." And so contextually, Jesus is given even greater context to what was happening in the Old Testament. And he's affirming the warnings of Father God in the Old Testament, that a time has now come when the kingdom will be taken away from the Israelite nation and given to a new type of people. And so there's going to be a new type of kingdom, a new people, and a new produce. Not like the produce of the old. A new thing was going to happen, right? And so he gives them this warning. It's not more than a warning. He gives them this judgment. And what were they saying? What was going on here? Jesus is who? He is the cornerstone. He is the reason for the vineyard. He is the one who they reject. They throw him out the vineyard. They reject him from the nation. Can you see that? The imagery. They throw him out the vineyard and kill him. And so they reject the cornerstone. They reject the reason for the vineyard in the very beginning. And so because of that and their disobedience, he passes a judgment on them. It's no wonder they wanted to kill him, right? So let's go back to John and then complete the context. So there are two things I want to say in the main body of the sermon. The first thing is that Jesus gives them now the context of what is this new kingdom, right? What is the new kingdom? Who are the new people? What is it? What is this kingdom about? And then secondly, and the most pertinently, he gives us the how. He gives us how do we live in this new kingdom? How do we lattice ourselves to the truth, as Heather was saying? So the first is this. He says in verse 1, "I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser." Who is now the new kingdom? What is the new kingdom? Who can come up with a name for this new kingdom? It's no longer Israel. The kingdom of? Anyone want to guess? He is the vine, the kingdom of Jesus. The kingdom of Jesus. It's no longer the kingdom of Israel. It's now Jesus' kingdom. And he describes himself as the vine. Can anyone tell me if this was a grapevine? Okay, and there was a vine holding these branches up, right? Could these branches survive without the vine? No. Could these produce fruit without the vine? No. And so for that reason, he says, you can do nothing without me. The whole kingdom is about me. I'm the king. I'm the whole identity of the nation as well, this new nation, this new kingdom. I'm the identity of, I'm the epitome of this new kingdom, and I'm the power for it as well. I'm the king, I'm the identity of the kingdom, and I'm the power of the king, all wrapped in one. He is the vine. He is the vine. And that's what, obviously, the Jewish people of that time had missed, the leaders had missed, and had become unfaithful to him. All right, the second thing is he reveals who the people, who are the people of this new kingdom. So he says in verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you." Who are the new people of the kingdom? So remember here, it's not always useful to take this scripture and transcribe it straight onto the modern church. Okay, without context. The context is the old kingdom and now a new kingdom. All right? So when he's talking about branches being taken away, he's talking about the old kingdom and the old way and the old way of relating to God. Okay? There's a new way. And there's a new people part of the kingdom. Who are these people? They're people that he has made clean. The word there in verse 3 is clean. It's the same word used in chapter 13 where Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. Do you remember the story? He's washing the disciples' feet. And what does Peter say? He says, no, Lord, you're the master. I'm not, the master can't wash, you know, the followers' feet. And what does Jesus say to him? Well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part in me. What Jesus was actually trying to do was he's trying to show Peter and the others how they were to go out and lead, to be an example, to be servants. It was an upside-down kingdom that masters wouldn't lord over with power, but masters would be servants. But there's another added meaning here when he talks about being clean, because the conversation goes on, because Peter then says to him, well, Lord, if then don't just wash my feet. Can you just wash all of me then? Because I want to be totally a part of you. Can you just wash all of me? And what does Jesus say? Those who've bathed don't need to be washed. You are already clean. Plural. You. Plural. He's talking to all of them. You, who are part of me, are already clean by the word, by my word. Okay? So who are these new people? It's people whose Jesus had made clean from the inside. Their hearts are clean. They are now a new type of people. They're not of the old people. They're not of the old system. They're not of the old way of being, the earthly way of being. They are a new type of people. They have been made clean by Christ. And then finally, what is the product of the kingdom? Well, very simply, in verse 8 it says, "This is by this my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit and that you prove to be my disciples." So this kingdom will be epitomized by the glorification of God, not the glorification of self. So God, to God be the glory, and this fruit that we would produce. And the fruit later on, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but the fruit is simply this, that we would follow his commandments. And what are his commandments? To love others and to serve. To love and serve. That's what he says in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life. So it's epitomized by love. This new kingdom is not epitomized by selfishness and dominance. It's epitomized by love and service. And so, these are my last three points. So that is more like setting the stage. Jesus gives us the why.